Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up, what's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, well, we had a nice up day on Tuesday. And, of course, we've got FOMC today and jobs on Friday. And not a lot going on. You know, fairly quiet. Volume was a little bit better, but a lot of people are still on vacation. Now, I did a little special the other day on the end of 2016, and the, review and a preview. I wanted to share that with you, so let's go check out the review and the preview, 2016-2017, and let's hear what I had to say, and let's see how it plays out. Here we go.
And Happy New Year, or good afternoon, or good night, but what's up, everybody? Welcome, and great to have everybody here. Happy New Year, and, you know, again, I've never done this before, so this is a first for all of us. I'm going to take a look back at last year and look forward to next year. I got a few questions, and I've put some goals together for next year, but I want to do some as a group together as well. So you can kind of think about that while I'm, you know, talking. You know, I can talk a lot. So we know I'm good at that. So you just emailed me. What are you doing on the call? If you're just emailing me, what are you doing here? You could answer me that question on the call here, big boy. Anyways. So, you know, last year, interesting year, right? It was filled with a lot of stuff. And, as I look back and we pull back the charts, and what I've done is I've actually pulled back charts that are year to date. Okay. So it's basically from the beginning to the end. And of course, you know, if we look at the Dow, I mean, you know, 20% up move. Okay. The whole talk was, you know, all week, 20K, 20K, 20K. Now, I know, you know, we're going to hit 20K. I mean, again, let's all remember one thing, okay? We are, in the capacity that we're together today, for the most part, we're traders. But in the main capacity, we're almost all investors as well. They're not the same thing, and 20K doesn't mean anything other than what the media wants to make it mean, number one. Number two, I will guarantee you that we will trade 20,000, we'll trade 30,000 at some point, because markets go up year over year. They just don't go up every year, and there are some trials and tribulations that people have to make decisions on unless you're hedged. But at the big end of the deal is they're going to go up. I mean, we know that the markets will work their way higher. They always have. I mean, when I first started trading, the market was under 1,000. So, you know, it doesn't mean anything. All it means is the numbers get bigger. It has absolutely no real meaning to anybody. But I think one of the things that we have to take note of from last year, and again, it doesn't mean anything today, and nothing we're going to talk about is for immediate action or for today, but it is something that it is part of the footprint. It is part of the model that the more you learn, the more you understand, the more you'll start to look at some of these things. Because, again, these are more clues, okay, going forward. So we are diverging from the S&P. The Dow was up over 20%, and the S&P was – actually, it's up 10, but 20 from the bottom. And the S&P is not, okay? So a stronger Dow against a weaker S&P, or if the Dow is stronger than the S&P, that typically is not a very bullish or a very risk-on sign. That's more of, hey, we need to go to the old Dow stocks and be safer. But, of course, the Dow is not really the Dow anymore, because there is not – it really isn't an industrial average anymore. It's really now just a – more of a thing, tech and financial things. But, you know, what drove the Dow? Well, most of it was stock buybacks. There was virtually no industrial production. So – you know, we were up. Okay, great. You know, and again, I'm not complaining that the market was up. I you know, we can't, we're not trying to fight what's going on. I mean, we just need some help here. But we had a market that rallied. Okay. And again, it's going to happen. The markets are going to go up more than they're going to go down. You know, and when you hear about the, you know, you'll hear on TV all the time that there's money on the sidelines. And I will say this again, and I hope I don't have to keep repeating it, but there's always money on the sidelines. Does everybody realize that money flows in to buy the market every single day of the year? Okay. There is not extra money waiting to buy. There's always money coming into the market, and there'll be money coming in when the market starts to break through. It'll still be coming in. But right now, there is a lack of sellers. There's a lack of interest of selling because we are having the greed factor. Now, the S&P gained 10%. Okay. Now, every dip was a buying opportunity. And you know, hey, we're not going to argue. I keep saying that as bearish as I am, the market right here. And again, my long-term portfolio is intact. Okay. I have not sold one stock. I have not shorted one stock in my long-term portfolio, in my retirement or whatever. Okay. I continue to buy as I recommend everybody else. I'm always buying. I'm always hedged. So I'm not looking to change anything, but I know that the valuations are a joke. Okay. I mean, you know, we can talk all we want, but, and you can listen to the jackasses on TV all you want, and they will tell you, you know, well, for this reason that we were going up. Well, look, the markets have assumed and have made a lot of assumptions to this point. And again, I'm not telling you that it's over tomorrow. I have no idea when it's going to end. Okay. But I do know from a mathematical probability standpoint that it will end because it always does. Okay. Now, again, I don't know when, but we've talked about, and we will again talk about what we're looking for the footprint that will help us. But in the meantime, jobs also stink. There is no growth. Where are we going? Okay. Now, again, that doesn't mean we're not going to go higher, but if you take in the combination, the interest rates are now rising. So everybody who borrowed money on the low interest rate environment, okay, and they're booking their profits off of that, well, this is going to obviously cut into corporate profits. You know, all these buybacks were not done with cash. They were done with borrowing money because the money was so cheap. Again, if they could borrow at 3% on a stock that they paid a 4% dividend, what's better for them? They borrow the money and buy the stock back. Okay. NASDAQ from the bottoms, monster gains, right? I mean, from the absolute dead bottom, you know, 40%. Okay. This is a risk on trade. So now we've got a little bit of a divergence the other side. All right. You know, one side says, well, maybe we should be bearish. And one side says, well, maybe we should bullish. Okay. However, they were pretty weak after Trump got elected. Now, what does it mean? Well, if you understand the market cycle and what people are doing, is the most money managers are trying to float money all over the place. Okay. They're always trying to pick a top of one sector and move to the next sector. They're trying to move into safety, but they're also trying to make sure that their people are invested so they're getting paid. Okay. Remember, don't ever forget this. Life comes down to two things, and one of them is money. And when you're investing with somebody that's controlling your money and you're paying them, okay, they get paid on the amount of money that you have invested in the market, not in the money amount of money you have sitting in cash.
And of course, that is a fact and a truism that they are investing your money, and that's when they get paid, is when they do invest your money. So don't put too much stock into what you hear, because they are not always going to give you this straight up story other than they want to get your money in the markets. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. I am, of course, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and you know that LibertyTalk.fm is the only spot you need to get The Bubba Show, The Sporting Edge, and everything else that you need for your news and commentary. So make sure you check out LibertyTalk.fm and check out BubbaTrading.com, as we will continue to keep you educated, updated, and ready to go next. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz going to step by here for a break, and we'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Bubba Horowitz on this FOMC Fed Minutes Wednesday.
And of course, you know, markets are charging forward and we're trying to see what's going to happen. But in the meantime, I thought we'd go back to the recap and the preview, or review and preview. And let's go back to that webinar now. Here we go. Okay. So don't kid yourself. They're moving money around back and forth, part of it for their own necessary greed, and part to try to help, because obviously if they help you, then you'll stay. If they lose your money, then they're going to leave. But again, I don't want them to lose your money, and I don't want you to lose your money, especially, you know, because there's no reason to act to be exposed. And trying to rotate from one stock to another is really ridiculous and inexpensive and not worth the effort. There's so many better ways to do that. Okay. So we look at it as actually, as I asked the question, well, what's next? Well, I'm not quite sure yet, but you know, we'll discuss it. And of course, the Russell, 43% off the February 11th bottom is unbelievable. The 23% since Trump got elected. Okay. Think about that. Okay. So that is the risk on baby trade. I mean, that is, and this makes perfect sense. Okay. In the scheme of what's going on, because the Russell would be America, okay? Russell is mostly small cap American. What is small cap companies? But American, okay? Which is saying, hey, we're risk on, baby, and that's what you saw. You saw a giant move in the Russell, and the Russell had the most turbulent year in 2016, because it went from a bear market to a bull market in the same year. Very unusual. Now, again, one of the things that we all have to take into consideration and remember now is markets do move faster today. Information flows faster. So the movements can be faster. But from a dollar standpoint or a number standpoint, don't get caught up with what the TV guys say, oh, we're down 200. I mean, 200 is not 1%. Let's not be, you know, into that situation, because what you're going to find out is that you're going to get caught up in the hype, and I don't want that. And I asked the question, how much higher? And the answer is, how hell if I know. Okay. Crude oil has been basically stagnant for the last, you know, 6 months. Okay. Although, you know, is up over 100% from the bottom. You know, is it going to go much higher? This one I will make a commitment to, and I will say I'm a seller. Okay. And why? Because, hold on 1 second. Okay. Why? Because in my eyes, if I look at the volume movement and I look at what's going on here, and not that I'm always concerned about volume, but this was all built. This is the rally that OPEC built. And we know there's too many things wrong with this oil rally. Number one, it's up with very little volume. There's very little holding it up. Okay. Number one. Number two, it's built more on OPEC. Okay. And we know that OPEC's not going to honor the deal. It's built on Trump, okay, which is fine. And it's built, but remember, and we are not fundamentalists. But from a fundamental standpoint, I don't care if they cut production or not. You know that whoever has plenty of oil, which, believe it or not, the United States has a 200-year supply, they'll be pumping like crazy. They'll be getting it out of the ground like crazy, all the small guys. So it's all done for all the wrong reasons, which is why the rallies have been extremely weak and without any real force. But, you know, again, we'll see. See if I'm right here. Gold, although higher for the year, I mean, it was just an ugly finish. And, you know, it's got a lot to do with, you know, the dollar. It's got a lot to do with the overall complacency in the overall economy. You know, the gold bugs are not so buggy right now. But in my eyes, again, I don't look at gold as a commodity of a safe haven play. I believe that everybody should own a little bit of gold. Okay. That I do believe, but I look at gold as a commodity that has been under some pressure, and I can give you a lot of reasons why, but I would venture to say that this year the bear market in gold will end. We've been in a 5-year bull market, bear market. And I would say that it's going to end at some point this year. And if you are an investor in gold or you're looking to invest in gold, I would not commit all of my dough here of what I want to buy, but I would certainly wouldn't mind nibbling. You know, the difference between trading and investing is if you're trading gold, then you probably would not be a buyer here. If you're trading it for in the short term, you'd probably look for a spot to be a seller here. Okay. But if you're buying it for the long term investment, I don't mind averaging in if I'm buying it for the long term. Okay. Because I look at buying gold like buying a house. I'm not selling it tomorrow. So if it goes up or down, what difference does it make? Either side doesn't help me. But one of the biggest fallacies is it's protection, and it's not. I mean, I don't know why anybody thinks that gold is actually really protection. It does not protect. It can protect you against potentially the currency, okay? But it doesn't protect you against the stock market. Look at the charts back to back. You will see that you have not done well by looking for protection. And if you think that you need protection, the stock markets have gone up 9% year over year for 150 years. Are we expecting all of a sudden that's over, that that's no longer going to be part of it? You know, we have to really use and our heads when we start getting in some of these other things. Again, I'm not against the asset. I love it, gold, and I love silver. But again, know why you're buying it and know what the value comes from, not as a form of protection, because it's not. It will not protect you in a collapse. Now, the bonds are collapsing. Okay, which what does that mean? It means rates are going up. So the bond futures are going down. The rates are going up. Okay, and as I predicted, not that I want to pat myself on the back, but I will, the Fed was going to get squeezed by the traders. Okay, because eventually the Fed was running out of bullets. And then, of course, we got the big squeeze. And if you see the high of the bond futures and look at where they are now, that's a gigantic move. We've now seen the 10-year move from 1.3 to almost 2.7%. Which is a gigantic move. I mean, you know, it's no different in percentage wise than, you know, something going from, 1,000 to 2,000. So, I mean, we're seeing a big move up in rates here. And, you know, what's that going to do? Well, it's going to squeeze the market too. And that's going to be, that's the one thing that many are not accounting for right now. Okay. Is the rise in rates and what that's going to do to some of the earnings. Okay. And that is an issue. Now, again, I am not a doom and gloomer, and I'm not telling you the market's going down. I'm just giving you some of the things to think about that will contradict all the pundits that are gushing. And of course, one of the biggest things I always hate is when they gush over a stock, and of course, they don't even own it themselves. But I do believe that this is the end of the 36-year bull market in bonds and in rates. I think that finally we are going to see, instead of the bubble building Greenspan, Bernanke, and Yellen people, we're going to actually see rates try to become part of the economy again, and we're going to see actual true movement, which would hopefully bring back true markets and price discovery. I mean, this is, if we can get away from the manipulation, I think we'll be a much happier campers. Of course, the dollar has had a massive move to the upside, and you know what has that done? Well, it's driven down commodities, but it has not driven down commodities as much as you might think. Okay, you would think that, you know, the commodities are directly related to the dollar. Gold to an extent, oil has not gone down at all with a rising dollar. You know, soybeans, all the soft good commodities, they're not actually getting murdered. So you would know that the dollar has probably reached the peak. And I do believe that to be the case, that the dollar is probably at the peak. Okay. You know, we continue to get these BS excuses from corporations. You know, well, the dollar was too strong. Well, the dollar is hedgeable. So why would I ever care about the dollar? You know, let Caterpillar, who's one of the biggest offenders of that, and, you know, well, we didn't make earnings because, well, you know, you make billions of dollars. Why don't you hire somebody for $100,000 a year to hedge your currency so you don't have any currency risk? Okay. The only thing it might create will be some less exports. But again, less exports means what to us? Okay.
And we'll come back with less exports and what it means to us. But of course, I am correct, and they could hedge it. But in the meantime, we're kind of up against the break. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. LibertyTalk.fm will get you the download of every show during the week of the Bubba Show and the Sporting Edge every weekend. We're going to step out of here for a break. This is guess who? The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be back after the break with more of The Bubba Show.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, of course, we are reviewing and previewing and talking stuff. And we left off with the dollar. And, of course, the dollar sparked higher on Tuesday. Unbelievable move. And did come in late in the day, as well as oil. So, you know, let's see how it plays out from here. But let's get back to the webinar. And here we go.
It means we're selling less goods, but there's more money flowing in to the country, because there's going to be places for investment. Okay, so again, there's a lot of stuff here, and none of it really means anything at the end of the day. Okay, the end of the day, the markets are going to be the markets that are going to trade, and only the economists look for excuses to be made. Now, obviously, we see the volatility index. Okay, now this is the whole key. Okay, lack of volatility typically gives us a lack of action, lack of trade, lack of follow through, and of course, continued rallies in the market. Now, okay, you can't fight it. Okay. I mean, you can go back, and I've been through this before. This is not a new game. Okay. And I just want to share this with you. Okay. Hold on 1 second. I mean, this is not new. Okay. In 2004, I didn't know if I was ever going to be able to trade again. I didn't know if I was going to be able to be involved anymore, because here in 2004, look at where we were. Okay, 4, 5, 6, right? It was lower than it is today. Let me get rid of these Bollinger Bands. I hate them. So if you think that, you know, we're never going to see it again. I mean, you know, again, markets run cyclical. We're in a very positive market right now. Everybody's glowing over the Trump victory. And, you know, again, I'm like, you can't argue with them, but eventually, what do we know? Well, we know that, as I like to say, what's next. And of course, we love the bell-shaped curve, right? Because it is a basically a distribution model. It's a mathematical focus. And we know that the stretch is probably a little bit too far right now. And again, I'm not recommending that we get short. I'm not telling you that the end of the world is here. I'm just saying, hey, the probability of a big rally from here, okay, is probably not very realistic. Okay. The probability of a big break from here is probably, you know, depending on what you call big. If you talk 10%, that's probably highly probable. Bigger than that, I couldn't really say. Okay. Again, I don't like to get too far off the beaten path, nor do I like to make these ridiculous projections of where things are going, because again, things you have to go one level at a time. Okay. And when I look at the market, I got to go, well, where can we go? And, you know, I mean, I for example, on oil, my long-term target is still 40. However, it's got to get through 50 first, and then 48, and then 46, and then maybe 40. Okay. So there's a lot of stops on the way before the markets will get to the levels that I think they're going to get. So I'm not going to just say, well, it's going to 40 and that's it. What I'm going to say is, hey, let's focus and work on one level at a time and see if we can either be buyers or sellers. Because no matter where I think the market will go, there will be times I might look at being a buyer when I might be overall bearish, and times I might look like being a seller when I'm overall bullish. It just depends on the individual footprint of the market that I'm looking at. Now, the reason I had the Bollinger Bands up because I wanted to print this chart. And, of course, this is a weekly chart, okay? Now, for any of you who have been through my classes, especially the futures, okay, what are we seeing about the Bollinger Bands? Well, we're mathematically, okay, we're extremely overbought, okay? Now, again, it doesn't mean that they're going to sell tomorrow. I mean, I'm not trying to tell anybody that we're going to go down here. I'm just saying that mathematically, we are extremely overbought, okay? We're over two standard deviations above the mean, which is extremely high, which is how the Bollinger Bands do work. And, of course, if you turn this chart over and look down here, okay, when we were two standard deviations below, what happened? We got a monster rally. We went back up, and then we sold off, came back. So now what's happening now, we're starting to widen out, okay, indicating that there might be some selling pressure coming in here soon. Now, again, we need the volatility to go along with it either way, okay? If it just sells off, then without any volatility, it's not going to help us. Now, of course, we would assume, but of course, we all know what assuming does, but we would assume that volatility will come in when the markets start to sell off. So, you know, can the market rally? Can the rally continue? Yeah, it can continue as long as it wants. There's nobody can say that it won't. I mean, these could stay in this position for another 5 weeks. There's no reason to believe that they're going to change this week, but it is something that we have to look at. And again, that's part of our footprint, because we know one thing for sure: the markets are not going to announce themselves. Okay, we're going to come in one day and we're going to start to see a sell-off. Okay, and the big deal is I'm not really so concerned about the sell-off. My concern will be the corresponding rally, because I will bet that the first big sell-off that we get will be followed by a rally. And what I'm looking for, the footprint that I'll be looking for, is when the rally comes back, okay, where will it come to? If it fails to make a new high, then that would be an indication to me that, hey, maybe the top is in. Because certainly, I can look at the market and tell you that I believe that we've got a rounding top again, but we've had a couple of these that did sell off a little bit, but they never followed through to the bottom. So, you know, if we look at just the quick thing, the year of the recovery, all you had to do is buy. And then, of course, it was the year of the upset. And now, by the way, I'm going to pat myself on the back. I had all six of these things called properly. Okay, the Denver Broncos, Chicago Cubs, Brexit, Trump, and the Italian vote. Now, is it unusual that the markets went the other way on all these things that everybody was predicting? Of course. It's not unusual. You would have expected it. Because, again, if you think about it and you listen to the pundits and you listen, that this is one of the things I tell you not to watch the news. Okay? Why would we think that they're going to be right this time? They're never right. Why would they be right this time? Do you ever notice how every time they upgrade something, it usually sells off, and every time they downgrade something, it usually goes up? Does anybody ever understand why that happens? Does anybody want to know why it does happen? Let me put it that way, okay? Because I can give you that answer if you'd like to know, okay? Oh, look who's here. Well, because typically, if you're familiar with the term spoofing, okay, which was a big Hillary Clinton thing a couple of years ago, that, you know, we're spoofing the market, you can't do that. Well, we spoof every day. I mean, in every walk of life, you're spoofing something, whether it's to sell your house or to do anything. But in the meantime, the big firms, they need action in a market to get out. So what they're going to do is when they're ready to start selling, they're going to tell you, they're going to give you a buy recommendation so that you can come in and buy and take them out of their position. Okay. And when they want to buy, they will give you a sell recommendation so that they can come in and buy when you're selling. That's a fact, okay? And the only fact, the way I can prove it, is that on the trading floor, okay, that's how they worked on the trading floor, okay? They would try to fool us as traders as to what they were doing, and they were always doing the opposite of what they first tried to appear to do. It's just a fact of life. Again, it does come down to money, okay? It's a very common theme in these markets happens all the time. Ah, there's my upset. See them all. There you go, baby. All right. So what do we see ahead in 2017? Okay. Well, the market's correct. I would venture to say at some point we will see a correction. Okay. I mean, again, you will never hear from me doom and gloom or disaster. Okay. Because I don't think that way. Remember, if you're with me, you know that I think of everything in basically in terms of math and a mathematical model. Okay. And even in 2008 and 9, when the markets were crumbling, they did not go straight down. You had ample opportunity to short. And I'm sure many of you have heard this story before, but I like telling it anyways. It's always a good story. And some of you who haven't heard it, but one night on a Monday night, during this whole debacle, I had to have surgery on a Tuesday, and it was outpatient, but I was gone under, and you never know, you might not get up, right? But I was really massively short, and the markets were up 1,000, okay, the futures, and I'm thinking to myself, what do I do? Do I cover? Do I not cover? What do I do? And I said, you know what? Maybe if they keep going up, maybe I won't come out. Maybe I'll stay under. I'll never wake up. And of course, by the time I got done, the markets had broken and were already down again. And this is the type of action that you have to look for. And this is what we're going to be looking for in the markets is how do the patterns set up? The last couple of weeks have been a little bit of a challenge because there's been no oomph behind the market, no matter which way it was going. All right. The sell-off we had this week, if this kind of selling happens, when we're busy, we're down 1,000 instead of 200. And the buying that we had before, we've been up a lot more. So it's hard to say, but will Trump be able to keep his promises now?
And we'll come back to what we think if Mr. Trump can keep his promises or not. But again, there's no way of telling exactly when the markets are going to stop or what's going to happen. But we'll look for some footprints. We'll look for some ideas, and we'll get the correction. We'll get some rallies. Look, it's the same as always. Nothing has really changed. And of course, everything else is the same. And so is LibertyTalk.fm, your only source for news. And that's where you can find the Bubba Show every day and the Sporting Edge on the weekends. In the meantime, make sure that you take the time to check out BubbaTrading.com as we continue to do things and put a lot up there for you, a lot of free information. In the meantime, the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. We're going to step out here a break, and we will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, coming right back. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, of course, we continue to see the run for 20, the 20K run. But let's see what we had to say about Mr. Trump coming into the new year and see what's going on. And you get some more of my preview now. So here we go.
Many of you didn't vote for him. But, again, it doesn't matter. We're all on the same team now. He is the president or the president-elect. But, I mean, can he? Yeah, I believe he can keep all of his promises. He's going to try. But the thing is that even if he does, and what everybody's banking on right now, notice the financials is next, banking, but whatever he's banking on right now is that everything he said he's going to do is done already. Well, I mean, really? Did the government all of a sudden change because Donald Trump is in there? They ain't working that fast. And even the Republicans, even though he's got the House and the Senate, everything he wants to pass, they're not going to be in such a gigantic hurry to pass everything he wants. Why? Because they don't want to give up their jobs. All right. They got those cush jobs there that they live under different rules and laws than we do. So everything he wants to do isn't happening quite so fast. But we've already anticipated that it's already done, which is why the financials are making all-time new highs. Now, it's going to be great if he can get most of this stuff done, because if the financials get freed up, if they free up a lot of the regulation, well, what's going to happen? Well, it means that it's going to make it easier to borrow money. So, and what will that do? That will create more small business, which will create more jobs. So that will be good for the market. But, however, it doesn't really matter. Okay, at some point, the markets are going to have to correct because nothing goes straight up. There has to be some sort of selling, no matter how much good news is around. If you've noticed for 8 years that have we had any really great economic news? I don't think so. Okay. But yet the markets went up consistently for 8 years. So as I've said before, in 08, you could have taken an empty chair and put it in the White House. which I guess we did anyways. No, but we got an empty chair in the White House, and the markets would have rallied. And right now you can take that same empty chair, and the markets are going to solve at some point here. Okay. And of course, we say you picked the wrong year to buy emerging markets. But this goes back to, I think that we're going to have a big year in 2017. I think that we're going to see quite a bit of volatility. I think we're going to get some of these breaks that we've been looking for. Okay. And again, I'm not a perma bearer. You know, like I said, I always own stock. So it's not like I benefit that greatly, but I do benefit obviously in the short term because, you know, kind of like the banks. All right. Now the banks are big investors in markets. I don't know if everybody's aware of that or not, but they do a lot of big investing. Okay. And there is a report that comes out every week called the Commitment of Traders Report. And that basically tells you what their positions are. And they have record short positions pretty much across the board. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going down anytime soon. But what it does mean is that they are concerned and they have enough money to outlast, you know, the normal investor. And they continue to pile up and to pound in and continue to sell versus taking their losses. But this all ties into, you know, what I like to talk about always is the math again, and that we are in a game of skill. Okay. Again, even game of skills, you don't win every time, but you have to be prepared to win and be on the right side of the trade to give yourself the best chance to win. And the idiots in charge, I like to call them. And of course, hopefully we will finally escape the central banking system. Because it's been a disaster. You cannot continue to try to manipulate markets the way that we've done for the last 8 years. You know, if anybody doesn't remember when Bernanke in 2013 should have raised rates and did not because he let the markets dictate to him when the stock market in volume and size is not even in the top 8 or 9 markets in the world of things that we need to be concerned about. So I think we will see free markets, and I'm hoping that we will see true price discovery again without the helping hand and the manipulation. It was Lloyd Bridges, yes. Without the manipulation of all these guys because they've done no good. And what I don't understand is that the top blueprint is from Japan. They've been doing this for 30 years. And where are they 30 years later? They're in the same spot they were 30 years ago, but their currencies are worth a lot less. Now, can all this be fixed? Okay, now this is where we are now. Okay. Student loans at unbelievable highs, food stamps, unbelievable highs, federal debt. I'll show you that in a little bit, even worse than you can imagine. Money printing, healthcare costs. And everything else is down. So the important things are down. The things that are bad are up. And, of course, if you all remember Albert Einstein's quote, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again but expecting different results. I mean, hopefully, again, I'm hoping that a businessman in the White House with a business-based cabinet, okay, is going to help change at least the culture and what everybody thinks. Because, you know, President Obama had 7% of his cabinet had business experience. He had the least amount of business experience in his cabinet since John F. Kennedy, who had 37%. Because the United States is a business. I don't care what anybody says, and we can debate that for hours, but it is a business, and it does run. It needs to be run like a business on a budget, like all of us have to be done. Because here, our debt to GDP, true with all the debt, is 105%. Okay, so you really think that we can continue to survive? Obviously, us as normal people could not do that. We'd be in jail or bankruptcy court. Okay, but this is where the money printing and the manipulation has to stop, and you have to let banks or whoever go bust. You know, why should they be among or above the law? Okay, when they doing the same thing. I mean, where if you're going to say that the Federal Reserve, which is their mandate, is to be the lender of last resort, well, okay, great. So let J.P. Morgan, and I'm just using them. I'm sure they weren't in trouble, but I'm using J.P. Morgan. Let them go out of business and just make all the deposits good and let them go deposit somewhere else. Why should we continue to let these things and have to bail all these people out? I mean, this is where problems come in and where the corrections will actually start to come in from is because of that. Okay. So some of the issues you can look at now, I mean, obviously, because the DNC was hacked, that's become a big story. Now, is it going to affect the market? In my opinion, absolutely not. I think it has no bearing on anything. Does anybody here really believe that the Russian hacking is the first time they've ever done it, or that we don't do it to them? I mean, this is espionage has gone on since I don't know, probably the cavemen. Okay, it just you can just do it faster now. But does anybody believe that this will have an effect? I don't believe so. I believe it would have no effect. I'm not so sure I believe that it had any effect in the election. And I don't know. I have no facts either way, and I don't have a real opinion. I just don't believe that it really had a direct effect on the election. I think the only reason it's such a big deal is because we've still got people trying to fight. And instead of unless it's trying to move forward, we're fighting it. So energy, you know, again, oil is up. And are we going to continue to see these high oil prices? I would think not. I mean, again, we have a 200-year supply of oil in this country without even affecting the greenies. Okay. So why would I expect with that kind of supply? You know, anybody remembers, you know, we used to have $9 oil. Okay. And it wasn't that long ago either. Okay. So all of a sudden we have to get up and everybody now compares the progress of oil to the markets, which they're not correlated. In theory, they should go the opposite direction. Because the oil demand should be getting less, okay? Because we should be using other sources of energy. But, again, that's nothing. Consumer.
And, of course, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I hope you enjoyed my recap and preview. We'll finish up more later in the week. In the meantime, LibertyTalk.fm. Make sure you check it out and download this show every day. We need you. We want you. And we want you to check it out. In the meantime, BubbaTrading.com will get you a lot of great information for free. And, of course, there are some subscriptions there as well, but you can check it out for free. That'll do it for today. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day. Thank you so much for being here. See you later.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.